What a joy it's been for Donna and I to be here today with you dear folks. And we really appreciate your love and friendship and hospitality, and we've just had a wonderful day together. This evening I want to speak about the church patterns and principles that were set out in the early church and that we should be following. Let's just commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. We pray that you would bless this word to each one of our hearts. We ask this in Jesus' worthy name. Amen. This evening I'm going to look at Acts chapter 2. This morning we were in Acts chapter 3 and Acts chapter 4. And this evening, let's look at Acts chapter 2. And Don very kindly read for me this morning, but I think I can make it here through these verses. There's only five verses that I'm going to have you read together. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Now down to verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Verse 44. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. In these few short verses, in a nutshell, it gives us the basic principles and practices of the early church, their church being made up of all the believers that were part of the fellowship, members of the body of Christ. It says they were all. There are many scriptures that give us further details about the principles and practices of the early church, but we're just going to look at these this evening. If we are to experience joy, fellowship, growth, and the power that God intended for us as individuals and as a gathering of his people in his church, then it is incumbent upon us to follow the pattern and principles that Christ has laid out for us. If we want to see God working in our midst, we need to do things God's way. Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says they were all. This would indicate that there were none missing. All of them gathered together. Children, young people, middle-aged folks, and old folks like me. All. None were too tired. None were too busy. None had other priorities. Christ came first in their lives. They were all together. There are several families in our assembly at home in Orillia, and the entire family, including the parents and up to seven children in one family, are at every service when the doors are open. I'm not sure that this would be easy for the parents or the children to do, but what an encouragement it is to us older folks to see these families with their children in the Lord's house with the Lord's people. Scripture tells us that those who honor me, I will honor. I have proved this in my own life, and anyone who honors the Lord will be guaranteed that he will honor you in your life. This applies to every aspect of our Christian lives, our time, our money, our service, in a physical sense, and our heart, soul, and total being in a spiritual sense. Give the Lord all. They were all together. What a blessing that would be if all those who were in fellowship in this assembly were at every meeting. How exciting and encouraging it would be to those of you who are sitting here tonight to have everyone here. What a blessing. The second point in verse 1, they were all together with one accord. With one accord. There was harmony, unity. You think it's possible for Christians to be together and be in total unity one with another? Well, to live above with saints you love, that will be glory. But to live below with saints you know, well, that's a different story. It's funny, you know, the stupid things that will divide us and separate us. Most of these kind of things that will split a church or even individuals from another individual, I don't get along with so-and-so because, and they might tell you and they might not tell you, but in the light of eternity, will this matter? Not a whit. Most of the things that cause us not to be in one accord with one another are trivial, stupid matters. We need to love one another, forgive one another. In a team, in team sports, it only takes one member of the team not to be working together with the whole team to foul the thing up and they lose the game. One person not doing their job. Folks, in an assembly of God's people, we are commanded to love one another. What does that really mean? Do we really love one another? I think in this assembly, we have, the years that we spent here, we grew to love each one of you. And we thank God for you and for the fellowship that we enjoyed together when we were in one accord. It's important to our Lord. In John chapter 17, verses 11, 20 to 23, our Lord prayed to his Father that we would be as one, even as he was one with his Father. We are to be one like that. And then Jesus listed five reasons why. The first being that they might have his joy fulfilled in them. The first priority for us to be one with each other in unity and joy and fellowship is that we might have his joy fulfilled in us. And the other four that our Lord listed are just as important as well, but in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, we are bound by scriptures to forgive one another. And if we don't forgive one another, it bears serious results. It says that if you do not forgive one another, our Lord will not forgive you. That's scary ground to be treading in that area of life. We need to love one another and bear one another's burdens. Before we come together, if there's any differences between each one of us, we need to resolve those differences and get them put out of the way so that we can have unity and joy and our hearts are in tune with our fellow believers and with our Lord himself. We can all be together with one accord and God can answer our prayers. If we are out of fellowship with each other, or out of fellowship with the Lord, how can our Lord honor our prayers and answer our prayers? The third point in verse 1, they were all together in one place. They were not staying home to watch some Christian program on TV like a Christian neighbor of ours at home. He doesn't believe that he needs to go to church when his favorite church pastors are on TV rather than gathering together with fellow believers in one place. The early church was effective and powerful because they were all together in unity in one place. In one place. How fortunate we are to have comfortable, safe, air-conditioned and or heated facilities where we can gather together and not like some believers in other parts of the world where they meet in caves or under a tree somewhere and they're exposed to the elements. They have to hide so that they can meet together. And when I was in Hungary, our friends from there told about during the communist occupation of their country, how that they had to meet out in the woods and hide from the authorities. How blessed we are. We have a comfortable facility where we can meet. We have air-conditioned cars to ride in to get here. We've got everything that is just the very best so that we can meet together in one place, one with another. When a number of believers are gathered together in one place, our Lord has promised to be with us in our midst. What an awesome joy and privilege that is when we are all obedient in one accord, in one place. Our Lord will, has promised to pour us out a blessing like he did in the early church years. Number four. In verse 42, they continued steadfastly. They continued steadfastly. It wasn't a hit and miss philosophy, not always late or tardy, not a pick and choose depending on who the speaker was that day, but they continued steadfastly. Missing some of the meetings can get to be a habit. I have a dear friend and he doesn't come out to the weeknight meetings, and he has a lame excuse that he's too sleepy and he might fall asleep and embarrass himself and embarrass others. But folks, that's pretty feeble excuse, really. It just gets to be a habit, and they don't go one week, and then, well, they're not sure whether they'll go next week, and by the third week, well, we don't go out during the week anymore. And it gets to be a habit. We need to be steadfast in all the functions of an assembly. Like as I was mentioning this morning, we need to have the joy of fellowshipping with each other, being together with my brothers and sisters in one place, serving the Lord together. And where there is unity, there is strength. Some people will come if there's a special meeting on, or if there's dinner being served. But, you know, food usually brings people in no matter what. But they were steadfast. They all attended the teaching sessions, and they had a desire to hear and learn the apostles' doctrine. They enjoyed the fellowship of other believers. They attended the breaking of bread. They were committed to each of these services. And the Lord's table each week. What a high honor it is for us to be able to gather in the Lord's presence to remember him in his appointed way. It just thrills your soul every time. And we are there to honor and praise our Lord. It's him that it's all about. Not about us, not about our problems or anything else, but it's all about him at the Lord's table. They even attended the prayer meetings. I should mention that prayer meetings held the most powerful results of all the gatherings. Just think for a few moments. On Lord's Day morning, before the Bible hour, five or six, half a dozen men or so will gather together, and they will pray for 10, 15 minutes and expect the Lord to answer bountifully. But in the early church, between when our Lord ascended back to glory, his ascension, and Pentecost, they gathered together every day and prayed for 10 days. Peter got up and preached, and what happened? 3,000 souls came to Christ. Much prayer, much results. Little prayer, little results. Imagine the growth in the church. 3,000, and likely about a week later, 5,000 more. How would you assimilate all those people? Those that gladly received his word were baptized and added to the church. They didn't wait 3 or 5 years before they proved themselves. They confessed Christ as their Savior. They were baptized, added to the church. What a glorious event that would be. Thankfully, when 5 or 6 men do gather together, or I'm not sure whether women gather with your folks here or not, but in Aurelia, at the prayer meeting before the Bible hour, there are ladies who will attend as well. They don't pray audibly, but they pray silently, and God hears their prayers every bit as much as he hears the men pray. And God is faithful. He will answer, and he will produce the results. In verses 46 and 47 describes the results of their unity, fellowship, and steadfastness. And the reality of chapter 1, verse 8, when our Lord told his early disciples that they would receive power after the Holy Spirit had come. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit has come. But where is the power today? How come that same Holy Spirit in the early church could produce such wonderful results, and today we don't see the same kind of results? If we had a gospel service, no, I'll change that. If we went out there, outside the doors here, and were reaching souls for Christ, sharing the gospel, I'm sure that we would see more results than we are seeing in this day and age. The disciples received the power of the Holy Spirit. We do fairly well at most of these early practices of the church, but the one area that I would emphasize again that we are lacking in is prayer. I don't know how I can emphasize this more, that we need to be all together in unity, one with another, steadfastly praying to God that he will answer and save souls. And we can't expect the fish all to jump into the boat when we go fishing. That does happen once in a while, but not very often. We need to go out there where the fish are and fish in their territory and catch souls for Christ. The early church experienced great power and the working of the Holy Spirit all throughout the book of the Acts. Maybe we're not following the same principles and practices to the same degree as the early church did. No, I'm going to remind you of this again, that the preaching and the gospel is not mentioned in these chapters. They didn't preach the gospel in their gatherings. They met together for fellowship, breaking of bread, the ministry of God's word, and for prayer. When the services were over, they went out. And that's where the mission field was and is today. When we go out these doors, we are entering the mission field. The mission field was and still is out there, outside the walls of this building. God can and still does save souls inside the church building, but our Lord's last instructions to the church was to go, G-O, go and make disciples. We are to be obedient to the Lord's command. In the time of the early church, they did not have all the scriptures for their instruction as we do today. They did not have a means of transportation like we have today, nor did they have comfortable buildings like we have today. Yet they saw God at work in many wonderful ways. Maybe we're just enjoying a comfortable pew. When we come together, we enjoy the fellowship, we enjoy each other, and to remember the Lord together, but we're not following up on our Lord's request that we go and make disciples. Maybe we do not experience the power of God working in our midst or in our personal lives by the Holy Spirit because we do not lay hold upon God in effective, believing prayer, in unity, fellowship, and steadfastness with all the saints in one place as they did in the early church. I leave with you with this thought conveyed in Matthew 18, verse 19, when our Lord said, "If two of you shall agree as touching anything, they shall ask in my name, it shall be done." If two of you, just imagine if all the saints of this assembly were gathered together in one place and we were all praying in unity for lost souls. If it does nothing for anybody else, it does something for the individual. It challenges my heart, it challenges your heart. Lord, am I being obedient to your request? Am I doing what you would want me to do? May the Lord cause us to follow the same principles and practices as that of the early church. Let's pray. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank you for your Son, our glorious Lord and Savior, and for the great cost that he yielded his life, shedding his precious blood, that we might be redeemed, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might have a relationship with you, the awesome, holy God of the universe. And Lord, again, we pray that you will challenge our hearts. Help us to be faithful servants for you and to be obedient. May we all be together in one place, in unity and joy and fellowship with yourself and with one another, praying, believing, and trusting you for the increase. We pray and ask your blessing now as we each separate and go our separate ways this week, and help us to be obedient to your word as we go and make disciples. For we ask this in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, and for your honor and glory. Amen.